We're going to continue on our Overcomers series. This is actually number 11. And one more after this one, and we'll complete it. There's a lot more we could cover, but I planned on just going 12 on this. So this week we are going to start in the book of Galatians. You'll figure out pretty quick who our overcomer is. Last time we were in the message or in the series, I covered the first one in the New Testament, and this would be the second one in the New Testament. Does anybody remember who the first one in the New Testament was? Oh, does anybody remember who the first one in the New Testament was? There we go. See, you could have just given a Sunday school answer and guessed, and you would have got that one right. Always tease the kids, they answer, oh, Jesus, for everything sometimes. And sometimes that's right. It's a good answer regardless, but that is the right answer on this one. So this is after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you'll see who we are talking about. Verse 11, Galatians 1:11. Read down to the end of the chapter. Who's the author of Galatians, the human author? There's a hint. Verse 11, when he says I, it's Paul speaking. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So Paul's giving a little history here. He got saved, and then some of the aftermath of right after he got saved. Look at verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But of other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Now watch verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Okay, so we come to the next to the last message on overcomers, and we're talking about the Apostle Paul. And outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would consider the Apostle Paul to be the greatest overcomer. You could say he's the greatest overcomer of the church age. He's hard to top all the things that Paul overcame. He was a real man of God, and he's a man that followed God's will. He got saved as a man, got out of that religious organization that he was in. He was a very zealous Jew, got out of that, trusted Christ, and everything changed after that. So if you notice here, just from this passage, before we pray, I'll show you a little bit about where we're going. You get a little bit about Paul's history. If you look at verse 13, in verse 13, it says, you heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. And let me just say a word about religion. Religion won't save anybody. You have some very, very religious people that will end up in hell because doing good things, as we talked about this morning, does not get a person to heaven. Religion is going to result in a lot of people ending up in the lake of fire. So then he says, he was one of the best when it came to religious Jews. And it says, in verse 13, he says, how that beyond measure, what did he do to the church of God? As a very zealous Jew, he was a persecutor of Christians. And we'll say more about that in a minute. But he persecuted those who named Jesus Christ as their Savior. But then look at verse 15. It says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, let me ask you a question. It's kind of silly to ask this, but so you understand the verse. Paul said he was separated from his mother's womb. You've been separated from your mother's womb, right? That was at your first birth, right? Why would Paul say, Oh, the Lord separated me from my mother's womb. Well, when he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and when anybody trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, there's a new birth, right? That physical birth is really the only birth that matters until a person is born again. Then the new birth, being born of the Spirit, is far better than your first birth. And isn't it interesting? Nothing wrong with doing this, but which birthday do we usually celebrate? Physical, right? The first birth. You know what's more important than that? Your spiritual birth, when you're born again. If you want to celebrate your birthday, that's fine. I do the same. But the new birth is far more important. So then he goes on to say this. He says, to reveal his son, verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might do what? Preach him among the heathen. So what we're going to look at tonight is Paul, how he went from a persecutor to a preacher. And here's the thing about when Paul started preaching. When he started preaching, he got in all kinds of trouble. His life did not become a life of ease once he started preaching and following Jesus Christ. But as we have studied with all of our overcomers, guess what will happen? Paul will overcome. He will prevail. So I just gave you the outline. We got Paul the persecutor, Paul the preacher, and Paul the one who prevailed through Jesus Christ. So we'll go through these points here tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for, again, another opportunity to preach and teach. And I just pray that tonight the things we look at about the Apostle Paul would really move us and inspire us to want to live our lives wholeheartedly for you just as he did. As we do that, we know that we will face opposition, and I pray that in the middle of opposition, we would do as Paul did and just press on and trust you to prevail. I pray that tonight we would all just get a little dose of reality to the cost of discipleship and the cost of following you, but how it's always 100% worth it to follow your will and to do what's right in your eyes. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would really show us things that only you can show us from your word, and I pray that we would be moved to action as a result. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So real quick here, before we get into this, I want you to go over to Philippians chapter 3. It says there, as I mentioned before, that Paul said that the Lord separated him from his mother's womb. And then it said that Paul was very religious before he started following Jesus Christ. Paul had a lot of baggage he had whenever he trusted Christ. He had been a very zealous Jew for all those years. Then he changes gears and trusts Jesus Christ, and he had a lot of opposition. But this is a great place to go to when things from your past tend to rear their ugly head, and the devil will often remind you of things from your past to try to discourage you. Y'all ever experienced that? They'll try to bring things up that are long gone, and maybe you even already, hopefully you already put them under the blood of Jesus Christ and got forgiveness for. You already dealt with the Lord with those things. But he'll bring them up. So look at verse 13. Look what Paul's attitude was about those things in the past. Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are where? That's the past. Forget them. And then he goes on, he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was not hanging on to the things of the past. You know why? They were worthless to him. And I bring that up because I know I'm guilty. Maybe some of y'all still struggle with things from the past coming back up. And folks, if you've already dealt with the past and already confessed things to the Lord and made things right with the Lord concerning things in the past, do like Paul. And it says, forgetting the things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before and then press. So you got a 3-point outline right there. Forget the past. Reach the things which are in front of you and press on. Press toward the mark. So there's a little 3-point outline you can put in your pocket. You might need that down the road. It's discouraging sometimes to be in this world, isn't it? And the devil will use any kinds of means to try to bring up the past or to try to discourage you from pressing on. So let's take heed to what verse 14 says, and no matter what happens, press on. Press on for the Lord, because what's there? Notice what he says in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the what? Folks, it's a rewarding thing to live for Jesus Christ. And notice he says, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no higher calling than living for Jesus Christ. There's no greater thing you could do with your life than live for Jesus Christ. So there you go. There's a little good little start for us. Let's go over to Acts chapter 7. I'll get into this message here, the first point here. Paul the persecutor, or Paul persecuting. And he shows up for the first time in Acts chapter 7. Go to the end of the chapter, verse 55. This whole chapter is Stephen preaching. Y'all remember this? Stephen preaches to these really religious people, these Jewish leaders. And they know their Old Testament, but they did not understand, or they chose not to understand or believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah promised to them in the Old Testament. So as a result, they did not care for anything associated with Jesus Christ. So if you go to verse 55, these Jewish leaders, Stephen has been preaching to, and look who shows up here. Look at verse 55. This is about Stephen. 7:55. But he, that's Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That had to be quite a sight, right? He's about to die. He looks up and he sees Jesus standing. What a sight, huh? Wow. Verse 56, then he says this, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they, and that's these religious leaders, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And Stephen dies here, you'll see. But look at the little detail in verse 58. It says they stoned him and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was what? Now you're going to find out that's the same man who later becomes Paul. He shows up here. Now you figure he watches this whole thing and hears Stephen's sermon, and it probably left an impact on him. And I'll show you why I believe that here in just a minute. But look at verse 59. It says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, which indicates that he died. I believe that Saul, later called Paul, heard what Stephen said. Amen. And a dying testimony is what Stephen left behind. I think that really left an impact on Saul. But not yet. It didn't change things just yet. But he likely remembered that. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Now watch verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to what? Here's Paul persecuting. Paul was responsible for finding believers and taking them to prison. That's how much he hated those who follow Jesus Christ. Paul the persecutor. Now, we could go on here, but let's go to chapter 9. You'll see that if you read chapter 8, it's really neat to read because you find out the apostles, whenever they are opposed, what do? They keep preaching. Whenever they go to a place where they're not wanted, guess what they do? They go somewhere else and keep preaching. And the opposition actually results in the apostles scattering. And scattering, guess what happens as they scatter? More people in more places hear the truth about Jesus Christ. You see how God always knows. His wisdom is infinite. He knows what's coming. So you would think, what a terrible thing, they're being persecuted. Okay. God says, hey, fellas, keep preaching. And they scatter. And as a result of the persecution, more people actually hear the truth. Isn't that something? God uses something that is meant for evil. And what does he use it for? He uses it for good. That's how God does things. Pretty neat. Go to Acts chapter 9. Let's see this thing about Saul. And you'll see a change here. Verse 1. Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. This is how much this guy hated Christians. Verse 2, desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am who? Uh-oh. Didn't know he was going to meet up with the Lord Jesus Christ, did he? The Lord answers. Here's a great proof text of Jesus being God. The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Isn't that a great question to ask the Lord? Amen. That's a great question for any of us to ask the Lord on any given day. What wilt thou have me to do? And look what the answer is. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, long story short here, this is where Saul meets Jesus Christ, and this is the chapter where everything changes. He no longer hated Christians. He became one. Isn't that something? That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ right there. Now, go to the end of the chapter, verse 20, or actually not the end. Go to verse 20, 9:20. A little bit more about what happens here. Without reading the whole chapter, I'll give you a little more detail. After this conversion of Paul, who was called Saul before, verse 20, and straightway, what's he doing now? He did what? He preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So this is really neat here, those three verses. Notice how God used Paul's background as a Pharisee. What do you know about the Pharisees? What part of the Scriptures did they know really well? They knew that Old Testament backwards and forwards. Paul knew the Old Testament. He knew it probably as good as anybody alive at the time. But now that he's met Jesus Christ, he would never look at the Old Testament the same. Now when he read the Old Testament, he would see all over the place, he would see pictures and prophecies of Jesus Christ all over the place. And he writes about a lot of those when you read Romans all the way to Philemon, the 13 books that Paul wrote. So starting in verse 20, Paul's focus changed. Instead of persecuting believers, he became a believer, and here's our second letter P for the night, second point. Persecutor turned preacher. Paul, a preacher. So let's see what happens the very minute, practically the very second, Paul begins preaching. Look at verse 23. We've just read that he was preaching Christ, 23, and after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to do what? Folks, if you decide to do something for Jesus Christ, if you decide to listen to what God wants you to do and follow His will, I guarantee you there's a 100% chance you will be opposed. That's a promise, guaranteed. Sometimes the opposition comes from friends. Sometimes it might even come from family members. Sometimes the opposition is your flesh, because your flesh hates preaching. Your flesh doesn't like the Bible. Now, if you're saved, there's a part of you that does like preaching in the Bible, and that's the Holy Spirit. But Galatians 5, Paul wrote about this. The flesh lusts against the spirit against flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. So sometimes the opposition is friends, family, the flesh. Sometimes the opposition is the world. I mentioned a little bit about this morning, how I sense almost increasing daily pressure from the world to not follow the Lord. Y'all feel that? It's increasing on the daily. And then sometimes, you'll see as we study Paul, sometimes the opposition is 100% satanic. It's the devil himself or devils. We'll see a little bit of that here as we go tonight. So preaching will produce opposition, but guess what Paul did in spite of the opposition? He pressed on. He kept preaching. So encouragement to us. You might not be a preacher. Although everybody, male or female, your life is a sermon, isn't it? Yep. Hello? Yep. Isn't your life a sermon? Amen. What you do preaches every day. So you can be a preacher whether you're a called preacher or not. Your life preaches. Paul's life, as he pressed on for the Lord, is proof that God protects those who are committed to do His will. Now, there's a day where Paul died. God was finished with him. But you see many times, we'll just look at a couple here tonight, a few. Many times in Paul's life, he was opposed, he pressed on, and God protected him miraculously on more than one occasion. So let's take a look here. Verse 24, you'll see some more opposition, and you'll see how God protected him. But their laying await was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to do what? Isn't that something? Why do they want to kill the guy? All he's doing is preaching. Here's what he's doing. You ready? He's stealing their crowd. They saw that there were people that were Jews, like him, that were following Jesus Christ instead of being these Pharisaical types. And they didn't like that. So they are losing their following. So look at verse 25. It says, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They hadn't heard about his conversion yet. 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against not just the Jews, but who else here? The Grecians were even against him. But they went about to slay him. And guess what? The Jews tried to kill him. They couldn't do it right there. The Grecians tried to slay him. You see Paul all the way to the end of the book of Acts. So they didn't do it either. God protected his man. And I'll just say, God protects those who are committed to following His will. When God has a set course for an individual, man or woman, boy or girl, and they follow that, trust God and He'll see you through it. God will protect you. So go to Acts 13. Let me show you some of this opposition he faced. This is the second point, Paul preaching. But as he preached, he saw all kinds of strange opposition. How about this one? Go to Acts 13, 1. Acts 13, 1 here. It says, now there was in the church that was at Antioch, you learned about that this morning from Zane, some good things about Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, what did they do? I mean, you see this over and over. Wherever Paul goes, he preaches. They preach the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, here we go, the opposition. They found a certain what? What do you see there? Now, are there? Let me just stop here for a moment. Are there any good sorcerers in the Bible?
No.
No. Would there be any good sorcerers in our world? No. Folks, a sorcerer is going to have some kind of connection with Satan. Avoid at all costs. I just had to bring that up here because for some reason in a lot of books and movies here in the last few years, sorcerers has made out to be good. There's good sorcerers. I don't find a good sorcerer in the Bible. So that should tell you something. All right. It says they found a certain sorcerer. Not only is he a sorcerer, what else is he? Verse 6. A false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But look at verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Y'all see what's happening here? There's a man here, Sergius Paulus, who wants to hear the preaching of Paul. And Paul starts in, and this sorcerer, what's he set out to do? What do you see there in verse 8? He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from what? Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word is going forth, and what do you have present there? Opposition. So let's see what Paul does here. And again, he's Saul here, and you'll see verse 9 something about that. Then Saul, who is also called what? There it is right there. So just to make that connection, Saul, Paul, same fellow. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Look what he says here, verse 10. And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? That's pretty strong, isn't it? He calls the guy out. Look what he calls him. He says, child of the devil, enemy of righteousness, and a man who's out to pervert the right ways of the Lord. Paul didn't play around when he went after these guys, did he? That's a good thing to take notice of. Look at verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. When Paul set out to preach, there was opposition. And here the opposition, I think you can align this one with being downright satanic, right? Satanic opposition. So as I mentioned before, opposition has many forms. Sometimes it is the opposition of the world. Mention that. Sometimes the world will say, why are you being so judgmental? Y'all ever hear that? You're just too harsh. And then as I mentioned, there's other times where the opposition is our flesh. You know what your flesh will often try and tell you to do? I tell you, I struggle with this one. Your flesh will say, hey, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Be quiet. Hold your peace. You don't want to start trouble, do you? And the flesh will say, don't say something when the Lord wants you to say something. How did Paul overcome right here? He called the guy out for what he was. Sometimes that needs to happen. I know there's a time to be quiet. There's also a time where you need to speak up boldly, and that's what he does right here. What did Paul do when he faced opposition? He persevered in the power of God. What should you and I do when we face opposition? Take note. Persevere in the power of God. Go over to Acts 13:44. Go on a little later in the chapter. I'll show you this one. This just keeps happening. Paul preaches, and here's opposition. 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? See, they're losing the crowd. That's why they're so upset with Paul. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas, take note of this, Paul and Barnabas waxed what? They would not stay quiet. It says they waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to who? The Gentiles. These Jews said, we don't want it. Remember, the gospel went to the Jew first. They didn't want it, so Paul and Barnabas say, we'll find somebody that wants to hear. We'll go to the Gentiles. But let's keep going here. 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Watch verse 50. Here it comes. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable what? They're getting these women to get involved here. It's kind of funny. The men couldn't stop Paul. So it's almost like they get another plan together. We'll get the women to go after Paul. He won't rebuke the women, will he? Let's see what happens. It says he stirred up the devout. They stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. So they just got rid of them. response. 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Did they stop preaching? They just went somewhere else and preached. 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, I know how I am, and you might be like me, maybe you're not like me. When I face opposition, my first inclination is to say, this is too hard. If I just stop, I'll keep peace. So I'll just stop. But what did Paul and Barnabas do right there? They said, we're just going to go boldly preach, and if they don't want it, we'll just go somewhere else where they want to hear it. Shake the dust off, move on. And notice 52, notice the result. The result was not discouragement and fear. The result was, 52, they were filled with what? They counted themselves worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. Same attitude we ought to take when opposition comes against us. So they just continued on. Now go to 14. I'll show you some more. 14, Acts 14, verse 19. One more thing here about this thing about preaching, but then opposition coming on whenever they preach. Look at 14:19. This is the most serious of opposition to this point. 14:19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having done what? Now that's some serious opposition. Now they're not just speaking out against him. Now they've taken up stones and stoned Paul. So they actually have prevailed here, it looks like. It says, persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. Notice the next word, supposing. That's where they went wrong. Supposing he had been what? So they probably said, we got him. We finally shut this guy up. We finally don't have to listen to his preaching. We win, right? Read the next verse. Verse 20, 14:20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Hold on a second. Time out. Where are they in verse 19? Note that. What two places are they in verse 19? What places? Antioch and Iconium. While they're in Antioch and Iconium, what happened? That's where he gets stoned. They think he's dead. He's not dead. Can you just... You don't have to make a movie to do this. You can use your imagination as you read. It's the neatest thing. Imagine this scene here in verse 20. The disciples are standing around Paul. And they're looking at him. And they're thinking, man, they got him. He's dead. They're just kind of staring down at him. And they're probably disappointed. They're thinking, this is the guy that has inspired us for all this time. They got him. Now, what are we going to do? Maybe they begin debating here. I don't know that for certain, but just kind of thinking about they're looking at him. And what does he do while they're looking at him? He's alive. And he gets up, and it doesn't say what he said. It says what he did. And his actions, and our actions speak louder than words. What's he do? He got up and continued preaching. And then when you look at verse 20, what are the last two places mentioned in verse 21, that is? What are the last two places mentioned in verse 21? Iconium and Antioch. Now listen, if it's me, I ain't going back to the place where they stoned me. I'm going somewhere else. Paul says, I'm not scared. I'll go back to the place where they got me. I'll show them they didn't get me. Maybe that was his motivation. I'll show them that they thought they won, but they didn't. So he goes right back there. I wrote in the margin of my Bible a word that maybe you want to do the same. I wrote in the margin of my Bible outside verse 20, I wrote the word resilience. And you can learn a great deal about spiritual resilience when you study the life of Paul. You say, what's resilience? Resilience means you keep on bouncing back in spite of opposition. Amen? Be inspired by Paul how to have spiritual resilience. Just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. Keep on preaching. You might think that after that whole scene there, He gets stoned because he just won't shut his mouth about Jesus Christ. You'd think maybe he gets up and he says, I'm going to take a break here for a while, guys. We're going to take like a three-day break here. I got to get my bearings. You know, I got to get my... I don't see that at all. He says, let's go. Oh, fellas, we're going right back to where they stoned me. What incredible resilience that is by Paul there. All right, let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I'll show you something here, sir, about Paul getting himself in trouble when he preached. 2 Corinthians 11. Now, when you read 2 Corinthians, Paul's actually making a case for all the things that he endured for Jesus Christ. And he's making a case to these Corinthians that he actually is an apostle. And they had their doubts, so he had to give them a little proof. So go to 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 23. Paul's just trying to show them, hey, I am the real deal here. Look at verse 23. He actually gets a little sarcastic in this chapter. 2 Corinthians 11, 23, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. So here's his proof. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. Now what's that a reference to, y'all? Stripes. Getting whipped. In stripes more above measure. In prisons more frequent. Now watch this one. I have yet to figure this one out. In deaths oft. How many times did Paul die? Now I'm just throwing a possibility. I wouldn't say this is what happened. I'll throw you a possibility. When they stoned Paul, he very well could have died and just gotten right up from the dead. Possibility. I say that because he says, in death oft. Maybe that happened. I'm just guessing there. Look at 24. He goes on here. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. So he got 39 stripes five times. How many is that? That's 195. You can do the math. 195 times he was whipped. 195 stripes. All right, let's go on here. 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, I'll tell you, this is a good place to mark in your Bible, or maybe a good place to write down when you think you got it rough. Folks, none of us in this room alone, now I'm looking at some people, I know you've been through some stuff. There's some people in this room that have really been through some really hard stuff. But you combine all of our hard times, I don't know if we even come close to all the things that Paul endured. Look at the list. And look at all the variations in the list. That's just incredible. All those things. Now, next time you think about maybe it's not worth it to live for Jesus Christ, all those things that Paul went through, did it stop him from living for Jesus Christ? Couldn't stop. And then he goes on there. If you look at verse 30, he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine what? Paul considered it a great privilege to endure suffering on behalf of Jesus Christ. I can't relate to all those things that Paul endured, but I'll tell you what, I can relate to at least some degree, I mean a small one compared to Paul, I can relate to a degree of opposition, and I think all of us here tonight can, right? Just the opposition this world throws at us. Be encouraged by Paul. In the face of opposition, keep on going for Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, let's go to this last thing here. We've got Paul persecuting, and we got Paul preaching, and with preaching comes opposition. But Paul, in spite of opposition, prevailed. So here's the last point. Paul prevailing. The Lord had a great work for Paul, and Paul knew this, and he would not quit because he wanted to fulfill God's will for his life. The Lord's work is always worth doing and continuing and completing. So don't stop. I know it gets rough, but don't stop. Keep living for the Lord. Keep doing right. Keep being bold for the Lord. Go to Acts 19 and we'll get our last place here. Acts 19, and there's a whole lot in the book of Acts about Paul that we just don't have time for here tonight, but let's take a look at this one. Paul prevailing. Here's just one example. We've already seen Paul prevailing in spite of opposition, but here's just a final example here in Paul prevailing against the work of the devil. Look at 19 and verse 13. 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Okay, so here's what you got here. You got these Jews who are exorcists. They're trying to cast out devils. Now, they actually make attempt to cast out devils, evil spirits, right here in verse 13, in the name of the Lord Jesus. But there's a problem. Look at verse 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, watch this, this is very interesting. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? I'm just going to give all of us a warning here. Now, I have not dabbled in this, and I don't intend to. You better be careful about trying to cast out devils. I would leave that to the Lord 100%. If you ever came upon a scene like this, here's what I would do. I would say, Lord, I have zero power at all to do anything here. I'm just going to give this over to you. You just take care of this. That's what I would do. I don't know about you, but I would be very cautious because of what happens next. Look at verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. And what did he do? Overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now watch verse 19 here. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And watch verse 20. We'll end up here 20 and 21. So mightily grew what? Watch this verse. Mightily grew the word of God and did what? Folks, you only prevail against opposition of any sorts when it comes to spiritual things. You only prevail by aligning yourself with God's word. That's the only way you can prevail. God's word always prevails. Jesus Christ always prevails. One of his many titles is the word of God with a capital W. Now watch 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into Macedonia. He sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Watch 23 here. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. And I will not take the time to read all this, but Paul preaches. Paul is opposed. But guess what keeps on happening? In the power of God, Paul prevails. With the word of God, Paul prevails. So there's a great lesson here. You're going to face opposition when you align yourself with the Lord. We all will face opposition when we decide we're going to live for the Lord. We're really going to face opposition when you decide to boldly proclaim God's word. Amen. But to be an overcomer or a prevailer, if that's a word, one who prevails, like Paul, keep on living according to God's word. The world, your flesh, the devil, they all hate God's word. Zane really hammered that this morning. They hate God's word. And they don't like Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus Christ. And they don't like the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what do? All these aligning forces against me. What do? You continue to press on and you prevail by staying as close as possible to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. That's how you do it. You stay aligned with the Lord and His Word, and you trust the Lord. You're not going to prevail in your flesh. You're going to fail in your flesh. But you prevail in the power of God and His Holy Spirit. So Paul went from a persecutor to a preacher. And when he preached, he was opposed, but he continued on and prevailed. Now, here's how we're going to widen this up here tonight. Do you think there's a small chance you might be opposed in the week ahead if you desire to truly live your life for the Lord? What do you think? Anybody? I promise you. Now, as the world in its current state, got all these forces coming against Israel, the world is getting all stirred up right now. They don't really understand the behind-the-scenes plan of the devil, but you do, don't you? You know that the devil is at work. He's opposing Israel because this is what he does. And the devil hates Israel. The devil hates Bible-believing Christians. The devil hates the Bible. So how are you going to prevail? You're going to keep aligning with God's Word. You're going to keep aligning with Jesus Christ, and you're going to trust Him to overcome. So, hey, in the week ahead, when you're opposed, I think we should all expect to be opposed. And just continue to not be discouraged, but to continue to prevail in the power of God's Holy Spirit and His Word. So, encouragement for the week ahead. Hey, it's nice to be around like-minded people who believe like you. Amen? And who agree whenever we preach here at our church. There's an agreement, and I like that. But when you go out those doors, good luck, right? Good luck finding anybody that's going to agree with you when it comes to God's Word. Don't let that stop you. Keep living for the Lord. Keep trusting Him. Stick with God's Word. That's the only way you're going to prevail. So a little encouragement for the week ahead. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for what You've given us here. We got a great example in the Apostle Paul about how to prevail in face of opposition. And I know that there's a good chance that many of us, maybe even all of us in the week ahead, will face a moment where we are opposed and even discouraged. I pray that in those moments we would remember Your Word. We would remember the power that You have. We don't have it, but You have it. And we would continue on and press on in the power of Your Holy Spirit and the power of Your Word. We thank You that we have Your Word that we can hold as a sword, a spiritual sword. And we can put our faith in it and hold up that shield of faith so that we can not fall to the devil and the world and the flesh if all these things are thrown at us. Help us and equip us for the week ahead with whatever may come. And may we be truly armed with the truth and with Your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.